Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men, by men. And it's a show not even women want to miss. In this show, if you have a son, I would suggest you bring him in on this one. This is a conversation fathers need to have with their sons. If you don't have a son, you have a nephew, a much younger brother. We are going to talk about how men can protect themselves. And they clearly have it, at least most of them. So welcome to my show, Straight Talk. Kind of got a late start today. But I want to take on my last couple of shows, I've been focusing on very masculine topics. So I'll say again, welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Ted Santos, your host. You know me. You also know my book. You've seen it. Here's Why You Can't Find Love. And if in the event you're a gentleman who wanted marriage, you wanted children, and you wanted to be able to legally leave your legacy, and you find yourself divorced, not a good situation to be in. And if you are a guy who still wants marriage, even though you've been divorced, this is a great show for you. And for all the men who are still strongly considering children and being able to legally protect your children as being a part of your legal binding contract with your spouse who can inherit your estate, your legacy, this is some really good knowledge to have. So we're going to have what I would consider to be a man-to-man conversation about how men can protect themselves, their assets, and not feel exposed. And we've been watching for the past, 18 months, we've seen some divorces of some very wealthy people. Divorce rate amongst the affluent is usually rather low. And I'm willing to bet that they're well aware of these strategies that I'm going to lay out. They're nothing new to them. But for men who have done well, you've acquired things, and you're still a single man, how do you protect your assets? You know, I hear these stories of a guy who inherits his parents' house, substantial size house, gets married, and poof, loses it all. So that happens to men. And you would wonder why they never took, why didn't those men protect themselves? I mean, difficult for me to think that those men had no idea how to do that. It seemed very, very odd to me. So I'm looking at, for this show, I'm going to look at some legal ways. And there's some, you know, if you have if you're an entrepreneur and you have a business that generates a lot of cash, hell, even a dentist can have a lot of cash, taking cash from clients. I mean, cash is one way, you know, if you can hide your business, you have a liquor store or a corner store, hell, even a church. There are ways to manage that safety deposit box. But if you have a a service, whether a construction company or a law firm, accounting firm. You're making money on Amazon, you know, whatever business you're doing, real estate, there are ways to be able to protect your business, to put your business in an entity where it's your business that you just don't own. And I've run across some really interesting articles of some great places to be able to protect assets. Now, some of these things cost a lot of money. It's why a lot of people don't hear about them or don't do them. They also have it for men who are not super wealthy. If you're in middle class, you can do this also. So what am I talking about? I had some thoughts for this show. Before I get to that, look, guys, this is very educational, what I'm going to present. And this is a conversation that all men need to be part of and better understand the country, the legal system, the ecosystem, the playing field in which we live. And men, there's no reason for men to be taking it on the chin, and especially since there are so many women who don't want to really catch the guy who's fresh out of college and marry him. She wants to catch him when he's at the finish line or very close to it. And that's to your advantage. If she wants to wait, that's great. There are strategies that you can take on to protect your assets, even your income. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a CPA. I'm going to do a screen share. I'm going to give you guys some facts that are out here. But even as I lay them out, my strong suggestion is once you hear this, you get a hold of a really good financial advisor, someone who's savvy, who can help you implement these strategies. Because if you are, I know a lot of guys do want to have children. You can use a surrogate. That's going to be expensive also. But if you're going to have a wife, you know, compatibility. So I've already, you know, my book surely supports a guy in being able to go through that kind of self-discovery to understand who's compatible with you. That's the first thing. And we all know, you know, still there's no guarantee, especially if you married a woman and she has people whispering in her ear and giving her poor advice. And most divorces are initiated by women. So what are the steps a man can take to protect his hard-earned capital and assets and his business he's taken on? And protect it from not only divorce, but you can also look at your children and protect them from having the assets that you leave for them. Protect them in divorce. Protect them if your wife wants to divorce and that she's not leeching off of them. There are quite a few things. So, you know, can you protect your assets from divorce? So my thoughts about this, I'll give them to you in a few seconds. So guys, if you haven't smashed that like button, smash it. Hit that thumbs up button. Because I'm going to really spit out some research and some education that will be beneficial. Share this video. Get as many guys in here. Smash that like button so Google can catch us in the algorithms and we can have a lot more men part of this conversation. If you guys have been watching the past few shows, I've been doing more of a like really man-to-man conversations that if men are not having, these are conversations men need to be having with one another. And surely if you have sons, these are conversations to have with your sons. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, this is a great time to hit that subscribe button and smash the bell so that you get notifications whenever I drop videos out here. So my thoughts on this, it goes like the following. When you hear about recent divorces from people like Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, even Dr. Dre. And we heard, like, what is he paying his wife for the alimony for the rest of her life? Like, he's paying thousands of dollars. I think you would call that divorce rape. So many men wonder what a wife can do to earn millions or billions of her husband's money. It is the man who took the risk and ventured out into the world with his talent and capital. He risked his capital. And as you know, the higher the risk, the higher the reward. So the man took the risk. He could have failed. In many cases, he probably did fail a few times. And these and other men, the men I've named, Bezos, Gates, Dr. Dre, they've earned their keep by providing what the market wanted. They have. You could like them or not like them, but they've been successful in delivering value to the marketplace, and they've been compensated. So what risk does a wife take that can earn her millions, if not billions of dollars, when the man is taking all the risk? And there are lots of guys who have taken risks and lost everything, and the wife left. So while marriage rates are at an all-time low, there are still men who desire children. Marriage can be a wise way to leave your legacy to your children. However, since women initiate over 70% of divorces, time for men to consider ways to protect their hard-earned assets. So we're going to look at a number of strategies for this. You guys know I like to do legitimate research. So you've probably heard of something called a trust. So how can you use a trust to your advantage as a man? What's going on, country boy? Good to see you in the house. Well, there are legal ways to protect your assets, right? And you'll be able to sleep at night. And I want to talk about legal ways, intelligent ways to set up trust so your assets are protected and you are not you're not raped in a divorce. You're not living below your accustomed lifestyle. There are men who do this. You know, you would have to wonder how did Bill Gates, you know, he had Microsoft going already before he met his wife. Hell, she was working for the company. So, and how did even Jeff Bezos, did she walk away with cash or did she walk away with $45 billion in stock that she's been cashing in? She probably sold it and Bezos bought it from her knowing the price of his stock was going to go through the roof. You can revoke on life insurance, but I'm talking about something. See, this is protecting your assets. Yes, you take her off your life insurance. I got that. That's what I'm talking about, things you do before you get married to make sure your assets are protected so that they don't even go into the divorce court. That's what I'm talking about. So we're going to get to the bare bone sort of minimum here. I actually saved this. Okay, I have to go back. Here we go. So there's something called a trust that you can use. And if you know anything about some of the titans of the past, like Andrew Carnegie, John D. Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, these men set up trust. And those trusts provide a certain amount of protection, right? So setting up a corporation, one, can protect can protect your assets from lawsuits, right? You have a business and you have a house. You want your house and your business to be separate. So you do business through a legal entity. And if the person wants to sue you, they sue the legal entity, and your house is not part of that legal entity. And some of you may own businesses and you don't, I'm sorry, some of you may own real estate. You may own apartment buildings. And there are some people who put each building, they incorporate a different company for each building, because if a tenant in one building sues you, they can only sue you for the property that one company owns, right? So these are strategies that you can do to protect yourself from all kinds of legalities. But a trust kind of takes that to a next level. So let me do a screen share. And I see you guys calling in. I want to take your calls. I dropped my PayPal and my Cash App in here. Any support is always greatly appreciated. This show is, like I said, definitely educational. This is something that men need to have. Like, we technically need to be learning this as little boys, as in high school at the minimum, about how men who are expected to go out and earn, you know, be the provider and the protector. And when you look at the number one way women become wealthy is through marriage. That's still the number one. It's not like, oh, women are getting all these jobs and becoming wealthy and creating these huge businesses. Women are not investing in corporations, their own, the same way men are. So they're not growing Fortune 500 companies the way men are. Men are doing that. We're taking those risks. So how do you protect that? The risks you've taken and the rewards you've benefited from that, the rewards you received from your risks. So a trust is a great way to go for that. So what is a trust? I'm going to do a screen share with you. And this is from Investopedia. I'd say they are a pretty credible website when it comes to investments and financial instruments, some financial instruments. So a trust. A trust is a fiduciary relationship in which one party, known as trustor, gives another party, the trustee, the right to hold title to property or assets for the benefit of a third party, the beneficiary. Trusts are established to provide legal protection for the trustor's assets, to make sure those assets are distributed according to the wishes of the trustor, and to save time, reduce paperwork, and in some cases, avoid or reduce inheritance or estate taxes. In finance, a trust can also be a type of closed-end fund built as a public limited company. So, you hear about trust fund babies, right? So the parents or grandparents or great-grandparents may have put a X amount of money, and that money is distributed to a child, grandchild, great-grandchild, and it's distributed in increments, right? It's controlled. And it's protected. Not even the creditors can go after that, right? There are legalities to a trust that makes it untouchable in some ways. So understanding trusts are created by settlors as individuals, as long as his or her lawyer, and as I said, to look at this, I strongly advise you go to an attorney who does trust and estate planning. They would be someone who would be able to walk you through what is the right kind of trust for you, the legalities. If you have an accountant or a CPA, they could be useful for this also, but you really want an attorney to walk you through this. So understanding trusts are created by settlers, an individual along with his or her lawyer, who decide how to transfer parts or all of their assets to trustees. These trustees hold on to the assets for the beneficiaries of the trust. The rules of the trust depend on the terms on which it is built. In some areas, it is possible for older beneficiaries to become trustees. For example, in some jurisdictions, the grantor can be a lifetime beneficiary and trustee at the same time. And there are, let's see, there are states where your assets can be protected in a trust. And I think not all. I don't know if you guys can see this screen. The Domestic Asset Protection Trust is currently recognized in 17 states, Alaska, Delaware, Hawaii, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, New Hampshire, Ohio, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And South Dakota has a particularly sophisticated system of trust and offshore accounts. And I'm going to talk to you about some of that also. Very interesting what South Dakota has set up. So before I go on, take a couple of callers here. Area code 870 and 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from? 870, you can go first.
Good evening, Ted. How's it going? This your boy, Country Boy.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining.
Yeah, man, I like this topic. I'm glad you decided to take this time out to teach us, brethren, what we must do to protect these assets and things. You know, it's a must-have, and to be honest with you, Ted, a lot of dudes probably haven't been taught anything about a trust, so I'm gonna sit back here in a few minutes and, you know, just try to grasp hold to this lesson you're trying to teach right here.
All right, good enough. Thank you. Good enough. You're welcome. 310, you're live and on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's up, Ted? Reginald Hart, West Coast, Los Angeles, California, presently Atlanta, Georgia. What's going on?
What up, Reg?
What's up, fella? Yeah. I'm with Country Boy. As a man of means and assets, I'm never going to get married. I'm not that stupid. I don't even care if I'm a millionaire or not. I wouldn't marry. Not in this society or in this country or any country that operates like this.
Right, right.
But Ted, before my research and my understanding, that trust has been an issue, and, you know, a lawyer, her lawyer, or the system, anything that's attached, you know, that's traceable, they can try to find a loophole to try to get to it, okay? Just like,
they can try it, of course. When you would set this up before you even get married. You don't want to set it up after you're married.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Well, that's the same thing with a prenup, you know, because, I mean, for years, you know, I heard some I heard even men, well, why worry about it? Just get a prenup. I mean, I'm like, you know, these people are very, very stupid. They don't even know how the system operates. So they give you the prenup so she can fight it. So the system and the lawyer can stretch the shit out and continue to make money. They're going to bleed you. She's going to bleed you. They're going to bleed you dry.
Well, look,
because if you have that type of money, right?
Riz, we're not going to do prenups today. But some of some of the trusts, Reggie, can't even be entered into the court.
No.
They can't even bring him into divorce court. See, because See, when you set up a trust, you don't own the stuff in there. The trust owns it.
Okay, so is that any different from incorporating your business LLC. LLC.
Very different. Very different. That's why I talked about that first, right? So, like, you have properties, right? So you can put your properties in an LLC or a corporation, right? So if one of your tenants tries to sue you, they can't sue you personally. And if some people, they take each property, they might have 100 properties, and each property is in its own separate LLC, right? So that person suing you can only sue you for that LLC that's in question, right? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Got me?
Like I said, I don't want to get off topic. I just mentioned the prenup.
Yeah, that's the reference. Red. That's why I want to provide some education so we don't get things mixed up. So a LLC or corporation can protect your personal assets from lawsuits, right? Someone wants to go after the or creditors, right? So they could put a lien on your house or something, but they can't go. They would have to work hard to go after you personally, right? So it's harder for them if you set up corporations or LLC. You understand that already, because the corporation is an entity that owns the property. So, you know, that's it. Just like if you have a business that provides a service and there's a, I don't know, you make an error. There are some businesses where you need something called E&O insurance, errors and omissions. And if your company makes a mistake and you have that insurance, they can only collect insurance from the E&O policy on the company. They can't go after you personally in your house if you own a mansion or whatever, you know, even if you just whatever you own, right? So the corporation protects you because it's its own entity that's doing business under a certain name. So they can only go after the corporation. There are certain trusts that you can set up, and the trust is an entity that owns. Now, the trust can be owned by your corporation. The trust can own your corporation. So let's say, Reg, you have the ABC company, and you're doing $50 million a year. You have a bunch of employees, and you get married 2 years from now. And that company's owned by the trust. You get a salary from the trust, not even from the company. Everything goes into the trust. And your wife decides in 5 years she wants to divorce you. Well, let's say you took a $50,000 salary, even though the company's making $50 million, and you would have to double check with an attorney. But as an employer of the trust, you're only getting that $50,000. That's your income. You don't own anything else. The trust owns it. Let's say you didn't pay your credit cards and they call you and they, even though that business is something you started, it's in a trust. The creditors can't even go after it.
So, okay.
May I ask you gentlemen this question? So is this trust thing, Ted, you talking about, yeah, that's something similar to some type of insurance over you, assets, or what? How does that work?
Insurance, it's nothing. It's like
it's not an insurance company.
No, it has nothing to do with insurance. It's like having. That's why I was talking to Reggie first about having a corporation or LLC. Your corporation is your business. It owns. If your corporation has machines and property, it owns all that stuff. You don't own any of that personally. So if that's why you see where businesses get sold off, because they owe their creditors a lot of money. They can't pay it. They go into bankruptcy. So they sell off the machines and the property and all that to pay the creditors. Because what you could be, and you should be, your personal assets. So even though the company went bankrupt and your personal home could be protected because your home wasn't owned by the company. You follow me?
Yes, sir. Just a little bit, but please continue.
No, okay, you got to stay with me, man. Just stay with me. The company owns your business. The company is an entity, and it owns all the machines and the assets and the property. And if for some reason you file bankruptcy, can't pay, the creditors will want you to sell off everything, and they'll take money from the sale of the property and machines. That's how they'll get their money back. But if your business is owned by a trust, it's almost like, this is the wrong way to say it, but it's almost like a company's company. It's almost like an entity that owns entities, and it's protected. It's got special protection. It follows certain, it's protected under certain tax laws. It can protect your, a lot of people put their money for their children or grandchildren in a trust because it has certain protections for inheritance taxes. So a trust is immune to a lot of different things. So and that's why I said, like, Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller Sr., Andrew Carnegie, you know, a lot of people set up their businesses in a trust, and they were kind of untouchable. You following me, guys?
Oh, yeah, I've been following you. Yeah, and, you know, I guess, yeah, I mean, go ahead, Ted.
I was just going to ask Country Boy, you with me now? Are you following me?
Oh yes. I'm with you most definitely.
Okay. Yeah, so nothing to do with insurance policies. We're not going down that path.
Because that's what I had got confused. I was thinking the trust falling on those type of entities, so I didn't know.
So like when I read what is a trust, a trust is a fiduciary relationship in which a trustor gives another party known as a trustee the right to hold title to property or assets for the benefit of a third party. It says while they are generally associated with idle rich, trusts are highly versatile instruments which can be used for a wide variety of purposes to achieve specific goals. Each trust falls into six broad categories: living or testamentary, funded or unfunded, revocable or irrevocable. So those are all the names of different trusts. Reg, what were you going to say?
I forgot. I was going to say, well, basically, this podcast is really based upon this, the Dr. Dre situation, correct?
Dre, Bill Gates, you know, we don't even know what Bill Gates' arrangements are, right?
Right.
Like,
and yet, not yet. Have they gotten divorced yet? Or she filed for divorce. They never, you know, that's real hush-hush. So nobody really knows what's going on.
I wonder if he put anything in a trust. I don't know.
That's curious.
Well, I mean, you know what? You said something earlier. I don't think a lot of guys really understand. And, like, you know, some of these big wigs, right? Some of these big wigs, you know, just because they're big wigs, they can be, you know, their world is totally different from the average person. So
right. You
would be thinking a guy that smart or probably that, you know, he would dot his I's and cross his T's. So,
right.
And then, what the media is saying, oh, he paid out this and this and had to do this and all that. That really might not be the case because a lot of stuff might be protected, right?
Right.
And like you said, he might have gave the chick, his wife, that much in stocks, right? Knowing that the stock was going to go back up, I mean, and he could, you know, and then buy it from her and get the shit back, and the shit blowing all the way back up. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Right.
That's Jeff Bezos.
Right. Jeff Bezos, and so this and to be honest with you, this actually, well, I don't know, because Dr. Dre was, you know what? I think he was fighting her on the $2 million a month. Okay, so nobody's heard nothing from Dr. Dre. He might be, to him, I think he generated $35 million a year. So he might be looking at this $293,000, like, you know, like $5. Nobody really knows that he ain't said nothing, and we really don't know. He might have his ass covered to a certain degree. A lot, you know, like I said, that's a whole nother. I'm just thinking a guy with that kind of wealth, that type of this, and the people that he knows they could have coached him, or you know, he got educated on how to protect himself. Okay, so like I said, Dre ain't, Dre not complaining about nothing. He said, here, take the $293,000 and take your ass on. You know what I mean? I mean, a month, you know, $3.5 million a year. Nobody really knows. He ain't saying nothing. You know what I mean?
Yep. What's going on, Blue Hemp? Hey, Chris is in the house. What's going on?
What's up, C-Dub?
Well, yeah, Red, you make a good point. We just don't know what them billionaires and them multimillionaires doing behind the scenes. See?
Yeah, because you know what? Because I just can't fathom Bill Gates being that damn stupid. And even what's the guy? Walmart guy? The guy with the dead eye. What's his name? What's the Walmart guy's name again?
Talking about Sam
Ted.
Walton.
No, Ted, the Walmart guy. The richest guy in the world. What's his name?
You're talking about Jeff Bezos.
I just can't imagine them guys. I mean, even Donald Trump. You know, Trump be having his ass covered in them marriages, divorces. He's like, okay, I know I got to do this. I got to divorce this chick within 10 years or something. I just can't be a guy that's that business savvy. And, you know, and that's smart to slip up here. I mean, only way that could happen is he had to be being led by his emotions.
But that is a whip.
Yeah, and them guys right there, come on, man. I can't see that shit happening.
Trump's prenup was pretty good. Trump's prenup was pretty good.
Yeah, you ain't never heard like Trump in no battle with Ivana, whatever. Oh, what's her name? Ivana, whatever his first wife was. You know, she asked something. You know, he was like, huh?
Reggie, she contested.
What's that?
She contested Ivanka, his first wife, contested the prenup.
Okay, and what happened?
The prenup says she would get $99 million in a divorce and in the house, and she said, no, I want more. So she fought, and she got about another $5 million, and that's it. So she got basically nothing.
So Donald Trump, another $5 million. Donald didn't care about that. He pissed that up. Man, come on, man. He like, yeah, okay, good. Get rid of her. You know what I mean? He cool. He moving on. Hey, because that's just like, because I don't want to get off, but we all those things. That's just like Michael Jordan. He gave Juanita $128 million, knowing he was getting ready to sign another deal with Nike. He's like, oh, here, trying to check, getting it ready, because he already knew what was coming. He's like, okay, I just pissed that off. I'm getting ready to sign this new deal. That ain't nothing.
Right.
He might have had Nike write her ass the check. Here, we'll write the check for you, Mike. Let's endorse this. Nobody really knows. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
nobody
right.
knows.
So with Dr. Dre, Chris said, you know, forensics accountants they'll search, but trusts have certain protections, man. And I'm going to look at an article that talks about a great place, one of the best places in the world to put your money. But let's take a call.
Cayman Island? Cayman Islands?
You won't believe this when I tell you. You're not going to believe it. You won't believe it. Yeah, you're going to be surprised. I was too. Area code 605, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
And this is Joe. Hello, people.
So,
the prenup agreement
I knew,
is good. How you guys doing?
I knew Joe was up in the cut somewhere. How you doing, Joe?
Okay, Rich. The thing is that they're not foolproof. By law, you cannot have a prenup that just eliminates all kinds of cash loopholes going to the ex-wife. And Reg, you were talking about how these billionaires and multimillionaires would be stupid. I used to think the same thing. But then if you take a look at the law, those prenups aren't, like I said, they're not foolproof. There are certain restrictions that the law puts on somebody who is rich, and that wife gets a substantial part of the assets, maybe not 50%, but they get a substantial part. She cannot be cut out from no cash, and she cannot be eliminated from getting child support if they have a child. Now, for people like Trump to marry three times, I thought that was dumb, but he took care of himself fairly well. But Ivana, his first wife, did a runaround their prenup. She was not allowed to talk about their confidential affairs and their private lives. So she wrote a novel. Instead of writing a tell-all book, she wrote a novel, but everybody knew what the novel was about. It was about Donald Trump. But and in terms of years ago, even the Saudi Arabian sheiks, something like 10 years ago, when he got a divorce, he had to pay his wife, at the time, the largest alimony in the world, something like $2 billion, either $1 billion or $2 billion, which was the most at the time. So you can't escape it. The best way to escape it, and even then you might not be able to escape it, is not to marry.
Joe, we're actually not talking about prenup. We're talking about trust. Setting up trust and having a trust is one way to protect your assets. People, you hear about trust fund babies, and they're collecting a monthly salary from the trust that their parents or grandparents left for them. And I'm pretty sure in divorce, that person, their spouse, cannot go after that money. Not even your creditors can go after it. I mean, there are different types of trust.
Yeah, probably not.
But so yeah. So there are people who in the John D. Rockefeller Sr., Andrew Carnegie, those are people who set up their businesses in a trust. So even a guy, if you know you're going to get married and you have a successful business, you could set up your business in a trust to protect it in the event you go into a divorce.
Or even a foundation. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the laws for a foundation, but for a trust, it does not get entered into the divorce court.
And that's
Joe,
a good way of protecting your
Joe, what do you know about a trust in this situation?
Not that much. I know that if you do set up a trust, if it's handled properly, then it's free from taxes, certain amount of taxes.
Certain kinds of taxes.
And probably.
Yeah.
What kind?
Yeah,
what
but that, but that, yeah, but you know what? We're not talking about taxes. We're talking about a way of man protecting itself from the parasitic female. Okay. So, because I'm only mentioning this because Coach Greg Adams did have a podcast about this very thing, and he said, unlike yourself, Ted, he mentioned that you cannot hide, a trust won't even get it done. Now, me personally, I agree with what Joe said originally. If you, why would you want to get married knowing all that you know, and you got to go get a trust to protect yourself? If you want to have kids, you can have kids without the broads these days. So that's your meaning. Hold on. I'm just trying to say, that is the point of marriage, is to raise a family, pass on your lineage, you pass on your wealth, whatever. You can get that one. Matter of fact, she made it available to you having these laws, wanting feminism, sexual revolution, wanting to be a single mother. So, I mean, if you want to pass on your DNA, you just might have to pay a little child support. But I mean, some guys say, okay, I got my kid, I'll pay you this.
There are guys who are going to get married, right? The divorce rate, I'm sorry, the marriage rate is at an all-time low. So what are some things? Yes, you can just say don't get married. You can hire a surrogate, and that's expensive also. I did a show on that, you know, hiring a surrogate.
But check it out. Also, Craig Adams, you said, well, what's the difference? You can pay the surrogate, you know, this or that, or pay the woman this over this, but you'll come out cheaper this way. Hell, if I had that type of money, I would go over to South America or another country and breed away and break them chicks off. They're going to take care of your kids.
But I'm going to tell you this, though, Reed. They're
going to make care of you. Huh?
I'm going to tell you this. Another thing, Reed, that I had found out about the kids, if you don't mind me mentioning real quick. Come to find out, Red, that a lot of them dudes that got that kind of money that you gentlemen talking about, Gates and Rockefeller, all those things, now they paying the laboratories incubate their kids in the laboratory now, Rich. Real talk.
But check this out. If you're a pro athlete, right, or a man of wealth or whatever, right, hell, you can afford to have your DNA have your DNA frozen. You can have a gallon of damn sperm over in some thing. You can go have a vasectomy, blast away. Then, if you decide you want to get married or whatever, that is reversible. But if that ain't working, you still got you got a gallon of your damn seed over in some laboratory frozen. So when it's brought as ovulating, you shoot it right up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, I know them billionaire guys ain't getting married out of love. I know they not. You know, go ahead. I didn't mean to dominate. Go ahead.
No, you.
I'm trying to make
a point. Them dudes being smart with they seed, and them dudes being smart with their assets, Reggie. Why you think the government right now having a hard time, the IRS trying to subpoena all these dudes that didn't file taxes, all their money tied up overseas somewhere? They trying to get them on tax evasion,
We're talking about prenups and we're talking about trust. I think trust and prenups would even be good for the upper middle class. You don't have to be ultra rich. As long if you're making like $100,000 a year, protect your assets.
Well, we're just using them. We understand. Listen here, if you're a billionaire or you got $100 billion, you do lose $1 billion, you cool. But if you're making $100,000 a year and you got to lose $50 million, you gonna have some problems. So, you know, it's more important for the average guy to understand this than them cats. They gonna be fine. Dr. Drake. Getting some new chips running through that mansion right now. He ain't thinking about that, bro.
Well, that's what I was saying. About that, bro. You're making over $100,000 or so. Yeah. Protect your assets. Trust funds and prenups aren't made just for the ultra rich.
I know we understand that, but listen here. I don't know if you heard earlier. I'm not down with no damn prenup because, like I already told you, that's just another whooping tool for them to put on your ass, and she's going to fight it. As a matter of fact,
but if
the that prenup is still underneath that judge's discretion, okay? That could be some liberal-ass damn man up there or some bitter female judge sitting up there and just throwing your shit out. No. I mean, the system is, the longer you fight, the lawyers and the judge are in cahoots together. The longer you fight, the more money you got to put out.
But rest assured, them billionaires ain't stupid.
If you don't have
I know them dudes know how to work stuff.
Well, listen. Dr. Dre worth $800 million. So let's round that off. You're a billionaire, right? Okay? So he had a prenup. She fought it. He said, man, I'm tired of fighting. Matter of fact, you sitting up there fighting, going through all of this stress. Time is passing, life is going by. She don't care. She just trying to piss you off. That's the nature of a bitch.
And that's when you got to make a decision. Right. You got to make a decision. You have to take a look.
Right. How much it would cost to fight it,
how much time it would take, the lawyer's fees versus not having a prenup at all. And most people have prenups, so I guess they figure having the prenup is worth the money. Because if you don't have a prenup, the judge comes in, swoops in, takes everything without your consent, according to law, the way he interprets
it, and you're probably worse off. Okay, so tell me something. You got to get a prenup. You got to go hide the money. You got to do this just so you can go marry some broad. What's the point?
Like I said, you want to
have
what you want to have
a family setting. You want the fantasy?
Like I said,
you want the white picket fence?
I don't believe in marriage. People,
I understand
that.
We understand that. That's why I'm
right.
We're on the same page. I'm just trying to.
I know. But the law is evolving so that even if you're not married, your assets still can belong to her. You still got to look into the legalities because they're always creeping up on you. They're always trying to find a way to take your assets.
Okay, check this out. No marriage, no cohabitation. And I wouldn't even have no fucking kids in this country. Let this fucker sink. Let it sink. Go have your kids in another country, like I told you. And shit, it won't be no problem. You send her some money over there, she's going to take care of your kids. I know some guys who have some kids in Germany or whatever. And shit, they send them chick money to fly over and see them when the kids got grown. They bring the kids on over. Everybody cool.
Amen.
Just here. You go to South America and find you one of them breeders, she'll have your children.
Real
you send her some money?
Believe it.
Yeah, you go get a DNA test on all they ask. That's your seed, you name them. And you let her know what time it is. You're going to be sending her this. You take her to private school. She's going to do that.
Best believe, Rich. That's what I do, man. Real talk.
Yeah, because I don't understand these dudes. I really don't, man. I don't know what happened to me and boy. They've been cast.
They stuck on stupid, Ridge. I just can't be that
stupid
man.
You
can't be that stupid man.
Oh,
and
no, just like, you know.
Ted put on the $30,000 for the chick just got out of jail. That's some crazy stuff I ever heard in my life.
They got stuck on stupid, man. I mean. And the women are conflating now because they say men are not emotionally available. No, we're not emotionally available. We're going to be thinking logically and clear. Especially, I mean, and you notice that they're trying to hook onto these young dudes now who ain't been around and hoping they can pussy whip the hell out of them. And they don't know nothing. They ain't had no man around to tell them what time it is. They mama gonna sit up there and let them get their ass fucked over. Yep. I don't understand.
That won't happen with me. Real talk. That's what I told you. I'm trying to learn all the legalities and all the loopholes that I need to close.
Listen, they already gonna have it where if you live with the chick, she gonna have certain rights. Okay, so that's the cohabitation part. Okay, so and then you know for every move that we make, they're gonna try to find another one to get resources from your ass. That's all you need to know. So just like Joe says, don't marry them, don't live with them. I would even knock them up. Hell,
like I said,
let me tell you of a case that happened. I don't know if it happened in Canada or if it happened in America. There was a couple. They did not live together, okay? They were going out for years. Did not live together. And every once in a while, they might have stayed at each other's apartment or house for a weekend or for a month or so. After about 5 or 6 or 7 years, do you know that she wanted to leave him? The court forced this guy to pay her palimony, and they didn't even.
Yeah,
listen
we know. But it was his fault because he told her to stop working. I will take care of you.
Right.
That's what that. Yeah. See, we all know about this.
Okay.
This was in Canada.
Right.
Yeah. That's what happened. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But that's what he gets for messing with a single mother and not and trying to take care of her and somebody else's seed, because whatever he's giving to them over there, he's taking away from his own kids, whether he has millions or not. I'm not taking care of somebody else's kids, give it to somebody else that I can give to my own seed. So he deserved to get his ass played.
Hey, listen. Here's something called a domestic asset protection trust versus a prenup. What's best? So domestic asset protection trust is a DAPT, is DAP. DAPs are irrevocable trusts that can be established in states that have special laws for this very specific type of trust. DAPs allow the settlor of the trust to be a discretionary beneficiary while still protecting the trust's assets from the settlor's creditors. In reality, DAPs are not solely a tool for protecting your assets during divorce, but have been a way for wealthy families and individuals to shield their assets from creditors. This type of trust can be a useful tool for assisting your clients in protecting their assets. DAPs also allow clients to transfer property using their annually exclusion gifting ability to take assets out of the estate and freeze them in a trust account. This type of trust account does not require the person creating the trust to be a resident of the state where it is being established. Therefore, for individuals who live in a jurisdiction without DAPs, they can still benefit from this type of asset protection. DAPs also act as an alternative offshore trust that in the past have been popular asset protection strategies. There are some drawbacks to trust that leave them open to being unprotected. One of these is merely not having the ability to accurately predict what will happen with the foreign jurisdiction laws or if things rapidly change due to political unrest and other issues to be less concerned on domestic soil. Prenuptial agreements are made prior to the marriage. They specifically set out what property or financial assets each spouse is entitled to in the event of divorce. Prenups are often used by a wealthy spouse to protect his or her assets, but can also be used to protect family businesses. In addition, prenups can be used to protect one party from assuming debt of the other party, determine how property will be passed upon death, clarify financial rights and responsibilities during marriage, and avoid long and costly disputes during the divorce. In most jurisdictions, if you do not have a prenuptial agreement, your spouse is entitled to share and receive ownership of property acquired during the marriage, receive some of your property upon death, share in any debts. Share in any debts acquired during the marriage and share responsibilities in managing property acquired. Prenups are privately drafted either by an individual or by the party's attorney. The other spouse can either participate in drafting with their soon-to-be spouse's attorney or have an attorney of their own review the agreement. The court does have final review of prenups by closely analyzing them. The judge is analyzing the agreement for fairness and compliance with the state law guidelines. These agreements are in nature of contract law and therefore must be absent duress of fraud or in order to be valid. Prenups must also be in writing to be legally valid, and they must be signed voluntarily by both parties. Now, you heard in the trust, it doesn't go into the court. See, this is what you guys are going off on this. I'm telling you, if you put it in a trust, now, one of the things, if you put it in a trust while you're married and the divorce happens within 2 years, at least in a state of South Dakota, it won't be protected. But if you create this trust before you're married, it's a much smarter thing because you don't own it. You don't own the trust. You don't own anything that's in it. Your creditors can't go after you. your wife filing for divorce can't go after it because you don't own it.
Well, yeah, that's good news for me, Ted, because I got legal counsel in my family, so I'm really glad you brought this up.
Hold on, Kendrick. So this is a comparison. DATs have many benefits that are unique and helpful for your client and outweigh the benefits of obtaining and getting prenuptial agreement. One downside to prenuptial agreements is the inability to predict what will happen during the course of the marriage and what gains or losses will be suffered by each person in a relationship. And just as a side note, see, if your assets are in a trust, they can't put liens on your assets in the trust because it's protected by creditors. Like, you can just say, I own nothing. I get a $50,000 salary from the trust, and I live on, I have $50,000 a year. That's what I have. So it goes on to say, therefore, this makes drafting a challenge and can lead to harm for your client many, many years down the line. This is the problem of prenuptial agreement. It can lead to challenges because you don't know what's going to happen in marriage. When the assets to the marriage or assets contained by the individual person is vastly different than when the client sat down with their soon-to-be ex-spouse and created this premarital contract. This is why I'm not talking about prenuptials. I'm talking about trust. You guys got to – we're talking about trust today, not prenuptials. So hold on, Ken.
I understand. Ted, we know this is about trust.
Hold on, Reg, hold on. In addition to the unforeseeability of what will happen during the course of the marriage, there can be problems with the actual terms of prenuptial agreement. During the drafting phase prior to marriage, the parties are often in the honeymoon stage that can lead to your client to agree to terms or compromise on certain issues that are not actually in the best interest. Papa, okay. Unlike prenup, this is the trust, and they call it domestic asset protection trust. Unlike a prenuptial agreement that becomes a contract prior to marriage, a domestic asset protection trust can be set up at any time, including after the parties have married. This is beneficial to your client who may not be able to think about the ramifications of divorce at the outset, but a number of years might be in a different frame of mind regarding the marriage or the potential longevity of the relationship. Your client should be aware that they should set up this type of trust prior to filing for divorce and before it is obvious that the relationship is headed to divorce. Asset transfers while a divorce is pending or immediately before a divorce is filed may lead a court to invalidate the transfer as fraudulent transfer to intentionally shield assets in which your client's spouse would otherwise be entitled. So and it says, depending on the state that the DAP is set up in, it might provide for less liability to your former spouse than a prenuptial agreement. While it may sound like a DAP is the most beneficial option for your client, it may be even more beneficial for your client to have a prenuptial agreement. Using these asset protection tools in combination may be the best way for your client's assets from an adverse divorce judgment. This is only proper for forward-thinking.
All right, so you have to have both.
Well, they're saying to have both, but what I'm suggesting is that you do this before you even get married. Like, if you're Reg,
yeah, that makes sense.
But Reg, you're not 25 years old, so you're telling a 25-year-old who wants to have children and wants to be able to leave. He's got a legal binding contract called a marriage, and his children are legally have access to any legacy he leaves behind. So he does that. The ideal situation for children is to come out of a two-parent household. It just is. So if he sets up a trust, if you're a business owner and you want to get married, you need to be thinking about putting your business in a trust before you get married. All right. If you know you want to get married, maybe you can put it in before you even meet your wife. It's already in there. You don't own it.
That's right.
So how do you apply for the thing, Ted, and how much does it cost to apply for the thing?
Well, you first had to go to a lawyer. I think your accountant might know about my accountant about this. Huh?
No, you go to a
financial
lawyer.
Advisor, a certified financial advisor, financial planner.
Right, a financial advisor is the first one. But there, I saw something. It could cost you some trusts are less expensive than others, right? And maybe do they have this for the debt? They call it a domestic asset protections trust. That's what it's called. So let's see if they have anything about cost in this. Let's see. Now they could go after your debt for child support, I think, but I don't think for alimony. So you'll have child support payments made. Now this is where you definitely want an attorney in this, because someone who defaulted on their child support, then the court went after the trust to get the money. But if you just make your payment, what I think happens is you set it up in a trust. Now you no longer own it. A trustee owns it. You can be the manager of the trust, and you can manage what happens and how the money is distributed, but you don't own it. You're just a manager. It's like you go in a business and a guy says, hey, I don't own the company. I'm just the manager here.
Oh, you?
I just manage it. And you still can be the CEO of the company and you run it and all that stuff. But it's like the money's not mine. The assets are not mine. You can put your personal home. I don't own this home.
Ted, maybe you'd like to contact a financial advisor and ask him or her to come on the show to explain what the benefits would be.
Yeah.
We know you know one, Ted.
Well, yeah, I wanted to get this conversation on the table because we can talk about prenups and how horrible marriage is and all that, but there are guys who want to get married. There are guys, as Joe was saying, you make $100,000 a year. You're just a financial advisor. Can I even set up my salary? Hey, Reg, if someone's got too much paper, back, go on mute. It's too much noise.
Oh, that's me. Hold on. I'm back at it again.
Gotta be.
Yeah, it's me. Hold on.
So what you just said, a few minutes ago, Joe, you make $100,000. You make $200,000 a year. You should be able to set up a trust and have all your income go into the trust. And what you're once again, you may manage the trust, but you don't own it. All the money goes into a trust. You get a salary out of that, and you can manage that. So if you go through a divorce.
Right.
Let's say you had your salary out of the trust is $50,000, then your divorce settlement is based on your $50,000 salary, not your $300 income you get from work.
Whatever would help anybody to protect their assets from the predators that at one time used to be the best friends, but as time went on, you were sleeping with the enemy. So it's always good to do something like that in advance, because emotions, they seem to rule us when we find somebody and we think that he or she is the greatest thing out there, and then over time we find out that we married a vampire. So it's always good to do that. Always good to look out for your future.
So guess where the greatest tax haven is for, like, offshore, supposedly best in the world. Which state do you think it is? Or which place in the world, I should say?
Is what? The greatest tax protection?
Right.
right, setting up trusts, right, offshore accounts.
Setting, well, I would have thought either Cayman Islands or Switzerland or Belize. I don't know which one.
Maybe Austria.
Huh? Say that.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Austria or maybe, I can't say Paris. Maybe Switzerland, maybe.
Okay, and Reggie said Cayman Islands, too. So I think that was a great place. And Belize, yeah. What was the other one you said, Joe?
Cayman Islands, Belize, and Switzerland. Switzerland used to be almost foolproof when it came to having your safe deposit boxes there. But a few years ago, the American government forced Switzerland to open up certain safe deposit boxes of people that the government was going after.
Yep.
The Cayman Islands is always a well-known place for asset protection. Belize may or may not be. I'm not sure. I don't know which is the best place, Ted.
So I'm gonna tell you, and Joe, you're really close to this place.
Really?
It's
in the United States?
The Great American Tax Haven, why the super rich love South Dakota.
All right.
I know you kidding me, Ted.
Oh, South Dakota. I mean, look, the governor is probably the best governor along with maybe DeSantis, but didn't know that the United States actually had a state that was that all-encompassing in terms of being an asset protection. How about that?
So this article is from November of 2019, so it's not that old. It's less than 2 years old. I'll read bits and pieces of it. So it starts with late last year, as the Chinese government prepared to enact tough new tax rules, the billionaire Sun Hongbin quietly transferred $4.5 billion worth of shares in his Chinese real estate firm to a company on a street corner in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, one of the least and least known states in the U.S. Sioux Falls is a pleasant city of 180,000 people, situated where the Big Sioux River tumbles off a red granite cliff. It has some decent bars downtown and charming array of sculptures, but there doesn't seem to be much to attract the Chinese multi-billionaire. It's a town that even few Americans have been to. The money of the world's mega wealthy, though, is headed there in ever larger volume. In the past decade, hundreds of billions of dollars have poured out of the traditional offshore jurisdictions such as Switzerland and New Jersey. It says Switzerland and New Jersey. Now, it didn't say New Jersey. It says Jersey. But, I mean, okay. And into a small number of American states, Delaware, Nevada, Wyoming, and above all, South Dakota. To some, South Dakota is a flyover state, the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court said in a speech. While many people may find a way to fly over, South Dakota, somehow their dollars find a way to land there. let's see. So this was...
Delaware used to be famous for being a state in the Union for having favorable laws.
But what is the world going on up there?
Listen to this. A decade ago, South Dakotan trust companies held $57.3 billion in assets. By the end of 2020, that total will have risen to $355.2 billion. That's a huge... So it's saying from in 2009, 2010, $57 billion in assets. And they're saying this article was written at the end of 2019. They were projecting it would be $355 billion by the end of 2020.
Those hundreds of billions of dollars are being regulated by a state with a population smaller than Norfolk. A part-time legislator lobbied, legislator heavily lobbied by trust lawyers and an administration committed to welcoming as much of the world's money as it can. At the heart of, let's see. In recent years, countries outside the U.S. have been cracking down on offshore wealth. But according to an official in the traditional tax haven who has watched this, wealth has fled that country's coffers to the U.S. The protections offered by states such as South Dakota are undermining global attempts to control tax dodging, kleptocracy, and money laundering. One of the core issues in fighting a guerrilla war is that if the guerrillas have a safe harbor, you can't win. Well, the U.S. is giving financial criminals a safe harbor, and really effective safe harbor, far more effective than anything they had in Jersey or Bahamas or wherever. That's amazing, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah. When you asked me, I was supposed to be pretty close to the state or the area. I was thinking of Wyoming. South Dakota, with this new governor, Governor Noem, I think her name is, she's pretty much of a conservative. I don't know how long South Dakota has been this tax shelter, but...
I'm going to tell you, she didn't do it. She didn't do it. The story does not begin with trust, with credit cards, and with Governor William Wild Bill Janklow, a U.S. Marine and son of Nuremberg, who became governor in 79 and led South Dakota for a total of 16 years. He's the guy who did this.
Wow. Yeah, how about that? Okay. That means that we have available to Americans, hopefully, the same access to the same tax shelter.
So in the late 70s, South Dakota's economy was mired in deep depression, and Janklow was prepared to do almost anything to bring a bit of business. He sensed an opportunity in undercutting the regulations imposed by other states. At the time, national interest rates were set unusually high by the Federal Reserve, meaning that credit card companies were having to pay more to borrow funds than they could earn from lending them out. That's what was killing them. So basically what he did is allowed credit card companies to put their offices there and charge any interest rate they wanted. That's how he got them all the credit cards.
I'm not going to say that there's a lot of loopholes for people of means, guys of means, or people with means to protect their assets from divorce or bankruptcy or whatever. I mean, that really validates that you can't tell me that these big wigs don't have a financial advisor to take care of this stuff.
That's why we don't
guide them to handle their money to do all of this, huh?
That's why we don't hear all the details.
That's right. Thank you. That's the point that I was getting ready to make. Dr. Dre or whoever it is, like I said, you know, we get the media or, you know, the surface shit. You know, you might not really get down deep exactly really what's going on. And like I said, when these guys get this type of money and whatever, I know that they don't mind paying the money to the right guy to protect themselves in case of some of these situations. You know what I mean? So I'm glad you brought that up, Ted. So there's no way I can actually believe that these guys would be that wouldn't take advantage of the situation. You know what? To find that person who knows how to, you know, to do this. And of course, they don't even have to tell us.
Go ahead, Reggie.
They don't even have to tell abroad what's going on, okay? Until the divorce happened or whatever. You know what I mean?
Now, you would think that people who have a lot of assets, millions of dollars, that they would be smart enough to hire somebody who knows how to handle that particular money. But when you take a look at the average life of the retired NFL and basketball star, usually in about 7 years or so, they're broke. because they're hiring financial advisors who sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, rip them off or don't know how to make good investments, or the star himself is spending way, way too much money and the financial advisor doesn't rein him in. If I were a financial advisor of some of these guys and they were making $35 million a year, I would put them on a budget of $20 million. You can spend the other $15 million, but this $20 million you can't touch until you're about 40.
Yep. Yeah, but sometimes these guys hire. I mean, for one thing, you got to – I'm not going to go to no one individual. I'm going to Washington Mutual. I'm going to a bonded company. If I have that, I'm going to the top-notch person. They might cost me more. They might, they're taking 5%. They might take 7%. But I know that my shit is bonded. They bonded. Everything is cool. They're going to make the right move. I ain't going to say kick back and relax. You still got to watch them. But, I'm not going to say, I'm going to let my friend manage my money. Or I know this guy got a degree in accounting. I'm going to let him. That's some of the stuff that them guys been doing now. Or somebody comes to them about some business deal or whatever, and they want to invest in restaurants and some other shit. Heck no, you don't know nothing about that stuff. Get out of there. Put your money, put it in real estate.
This is why I'm investing.
Put it in real estate, put it in water and food, because those are the three essentials for survival. Water, food, and shelter.
Don't forget about land, Ridge. That along the land of the assets. Don't forget about land.
Yeah. Okay. Well, land too, because the house got to be on land. So I'm gonna give you land. Yeah. So I'm just making reference to that. I mean, you got other important things as far as energy. Ted always said gold and steel or silver. Those tangible things that society basically needs to keep moving.
Get the fruit oil, all that kind of stuff. See, the energy gonna roll in the money. Yes, sir.
Oil. Huh? Mm-hmm. Any of that stuff. Don't be these people be trying to get into. I don't know the extra stuff, not the tangible stuff like restaurants or spas or, the pantry where the economy has to be really flowing for them, the treats of the stuff, the treat, the pampering, the essentials,
Red, if you're going to buy a business, I don't care what it is, a restaurant is a business, you have to be really good at knowing how to run it and make it profitable and expand it, or you need to have a really good friend or family member who can do it, who is good at that and knows how to do it.
Hold on, Rich.
Because buying a business can be, buying land definitely good, but buying a business, the land will appreciate, and that depends on a lot of circumstances in the economy. But if you buy a business and you really know what you're doing, you can buy a $10 million business and grow that sucker to $100 million if you have the right team in place. And if you sell it, you'll get way more than what you paid for it. You can either do it again, or you can keep the business and let it keep growing and let it kick out cash to you. It would be paying you almost like dividends, right? You just take a small percentage of it, out of the top line. So a business is a great way to go because it's an appreciating asset. So you get the right one, and it can pay you dividends over time, help for the rest of your life.
The right one, Ted.
Reg, even if you buy the right one and you don't have the proper people to manage it, that's why I said, there are lots of right businesses to buy out there. But you also, and usually those people selling it, they want to exit. They're trying to get out. Usually, not always, you're usually trying to leave, to retire. So you need to have the right team around you if you're going to be. So if you're an athlete, you need to be networking with people
who can support you in that way. So you can buy a business, grow it, and if you want to sell it, maybe you sell it for $200 million. There are people who do that.
Well, again, like I said, you have to get the right people handling your business. If you're at that, you know, if you're at that level that we're speaking of, these guys, I know that they have the right people there to tell them or to cover their ass. Okay, I know this. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean. Unless these guys are real, real emotional.
A lot
right
of celebrities.
Now. They pussy.
Yes, there are a
pussy,
lot of celebrities.
They got pussy.
There are a lot of.
They pussy whipped us. They got pussy whipped or something. And that pussy on Friday. Any yeah. logic to the, or common sense they had, it's all, you know, it's all out the window.
There are a lot of celebrities and a lot of luminaries who have gone broke because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, you know, look at the late Robin Williams. You know, just that's a prime example. So, yeah, and actually, that's a woman's goal, shit, to get you to stop thinking. She didn't put it down so good. She don't want you thinking logically anymore.
I'm just saying. I'm not even thinking in terms of marriage. I'm thinking in terms of investments. We had the 2007 real estate crash. Businesses are good, but 80% of businesses fail within 10 years. If you know what you're doing, you can put your money into anything, any commodity, any business, real estate, stocks, anything, if you know what you're doing. Everything goes up and everything goes down. Timing is everything, as they say, and that's true.
I know where you were going with it, and you are correct. Hey, but sometimes you just have to be lucky, okay? I mean, you can be savvy smart, but sometimes you just have to.
Luck is a very important part.
Oh, you just had to be at the right place at the right time. So, like, when that market crashed, damn, man, I lost a house in L.A. that worked. I mean, it ended up with the losses of that and some other equity and stuff. I was out of like $235,000.
There you go.
Let me tell you.
There you go. But to reiterate what you said is, it is a up and down. You know, nothing's ever going to be good all the time or bad. You just have to be in a position where it does tank that you're able to come back, and I was able to. But that's very important because what I have to say now for any guys who want to get in is that. Right now, I'm making moves for next year because I expect come January for the market to I'm not going to say crash. It's not going to crash like it did before. But I expect for the real estate market to go down, and I'm making moves now to take some money out of some places, pay off a house, and then set up for me to make another move next year to get another home. And the one that I just bought, I'm going to turn that into – a part of what Ted is talking about, put it in the trust, you know, and get everything going. I'm trying to kick back in a couple of years, God willing. You know what I mean? But again, that's what I'm trying to, what you were saying is very true. You know, it's peaks and valleys. It's peaks and valleys. So I just believe that, you know, the more solid you are, you're able to endure the ups and downs, you know. Because some people, you know, when that crash happened, that was it. You know, they didn't put that, you know, they would bounce back.
Rich, I'm going to stop you right there. A million people knew the crash was coming. See, this is why it's so important to network and talk to people and listen to what they actually have to say. Because in 2003, if you knew anyone who worked for a mortgage company, they told you in 5 years, real estate is going to crash so hard, it's going to be devastating, so you better have some cash on hand so you can buy real estate. The writing was
screaming. Right.
The writing
was... Hey, Ted, but guess what? Yes, I agree with you. Guess who told me this?
What, Reg,
some real estate.
Reg, I'm making a bigger point. I don't want to get stuck on that, on one thing. So all I'm saying is you have to network with people. What? So whether you're an athlete, networking with people who know how to run businesses,
if you're depending on luck, then you should, like, just put your money under the mattress, because if the people who buy companies, people who know real estate is going to crash and approximately when, they're not depending on luck. They're putting their ear to the ground. They're networking with people. They're talking to people. They're getting inside perspectives so that they can make educated decisions based on what's actually happening. So, like, in 2003, the writing was on the wall that in 5 years it's going to crash. And why? Because the mortgage companies, these people were giving out mortgages, and they knew in 5 years that a big percentage of them were going to go into default. They knew it. So they had accurate information. So whether talking to people in different industries or talking to people who have different skills and competencies that don't leave you up to luck, you know, it's about building teams of people around you that can support you with the kind of things that you want to accomplish.
Okay, Ted. All right. Thank you for that, Ted. I don't agree with that wholeheartedly, but you can go ahead and run with it, okay?
There's no such thing as luck.
Luck is involved. Luck of blessing is involved in quite a bit of stuff, okay?
Ted,
it's not debatable to me.
It's
got to be lucky.
Because if people who are successful, what you find around them is
okay, Ted. Okay.
Form.
All right.
Alone, that's how you depend on luck. You have to know.
Hey, Ted, I didn't say depend on luck. I just used to do luck, bless, whatever, however you want to use it. That's how
luck
I feel about it. So, I mean, that's
sure.
Okay.
Luck has nothing to do with it.
Okay, I don't agree. Ted, I don't agree with that.
Because
you can say that 500 times. I'm not going to agree with it. Okay?
I know people who do exactly what you're talking about. And they're never lucky. Never.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay.
Sometimes they get a deal that doesn't go the way they want, and they learn some lessons.
Mm-hmm.
They get a bad deal.
Ted.
In something that doesn't work the way they want.
I got lucky, Ted. I got lucky. I paid $75,000 for a place and ended up selling it for $335,000. I wouldn't have never imagined. I didn't know nothing about it. I never knew. I didn't know it was going to happen that way. I got lucky, Ted. Okay? I'm blessed. Okay? That's how I look at it. And I wasn't in tune. I just was fortunate enough to make a move, and it worked out for me, especially when a sorry-ass bitch was trying to talk me out of buying the place. Okay? So that's another lesson. Don't listen to them hoes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is why I'm talking about trust, because most people don't know about trust. This is not about luck. This is about being strategic and making moves that can protect your assets. This is about making smart decisions, which means you're going to need financial advisors around. You're going to need attorneys. You're going to need people who have knowledge that can give you the intelligence about specific things so you can make decisions that so you can protect. And it's not just protecting it from a woman. There are tax benefits. There are things that you have a son. You want to pass it on to your son in a trust. It can protect him.
Mm-hmm.
If your son ever wants to get married, it's protected so that his wife can't take it, because you guys have heard me say this before. Some guy inherited a 6-bedroom house from his parents when they died. He moves in. He's happy. He later meets a woman, marries her, and what does she do? She took that sucker in a divorce, took it, and kicked him out. I mean, these are things men need to be thinking about, this stuff, and that's an example of what you were saying. A regular guy, he's living in a 6-bedroom house. He's living a good life. He has a great job. And he lost his house.
Fucking around. Trying to fulfill a fantasy. Turned into a nightmare on his ass.
I don't know if he was trying to fulfill a fantasy. I know he lost the house.
It is. Okay, Ted, don't worry about it. You just misinterpreting everything I'm saying. In a Ted Santos type of way. I just made a statement. It didn't need to be addressed. It was just something just to put out there, okay? It was just something to say. It's nothing to be internalized. Okay, then. Go ahead, Fine. Thank you. All right. Been in a relationship a while.
So one of the things they say in this article that about South Dakota, the easy takeaway is that people are trying to hide, but wanting to be private, to be confidential. There's nothing illegal about that. Is this guy who's a managing director at South Dakota Trust Company, and that's where that Sun Hong Bin put his $4.5 billion fortune.
Hey, Ted. Ted, I don't want to cut you off, but I think there's some notable, to validate what you're saying, Ted, so that's why I'm cutting you off. There are several, I believe there's several celebrities that have a residency in South Dakota. I think Bruce Willis and Demi Moore. I think Kanye West and his ex-wife, Kim Kardashian, I think they have residency in there. So I believe it is South Dakota. So. That might and I believe that's why they went and established residency in South Dakota.
Okay. Well,
you can look into it. You can look into it if you want to, but that might be validating, you know, what's going on.
Most of the credit card companies have moved to South Dakota because of the laws they put in place, and once he attracted the credit card companies, he started. Attracting other, that's when he started attracting trusts and other other tax havens. He made the laws, made all these laws so that it was beneficial for people to put their money in this place.
Well, I'm like, hey, like I said, if you got it like that, you can hire the right people that know what to do. And a lot of them athletes and celebrities or whoever their dummies was, they was just, you know, they was just guys who never had enough. They didn't know what to do. That's all. That just gave me what to do.
That's why I'm putting this on the table.
You see Michael Jordan didn't make that. You see Michael Jordan didn't make that mistake. He got David Falk at that time and some agents and people. Lee Steinberg was making deals for some of the athletes. To this day, they ain't never had to work or whatever. So now they're going to cost you. They're the top of the line, but it's worth it. You know what I mean? It's worth it. I mean, if you don't know and you really know that this is not your thing, and you think I'm going to be cheap. I think I can manage myself. You're going to blow it all. You're going to blow that.
This is not about managing. This is not about managing.
Okay, Ted, there we go. Never mind, Ted. I never said anything.
This is about protecting your assets.
Of course it is. That's the whole point. These guys know how to protect your assets as well. If they know that part, if they're going to know, hey, you're going to say, hey, okay, we're going to put it here so you always covered. Even if you get married to this, it's going to be in this trust. So that's all part of the ball game. It's just not just relegated to that one area. I'm pretty sure them guys these guys are pretty savvy now.
I'm talking about the agents.
My whole point is you don't when you want somebody to handle your money, you got a lot at stake. You don't be messing with no rinky dink dudes, okay? You just don't do that, and that's what some of those guys have been doing, being led by their emotions or whatever, you know.
Well, most people don't even know to ask about this stuff, to explore it. And as Joe was saying before, everyone thought Switzerland was the best place to put your money. With that, the U.S. they destroyed that by getting permission to find out who put money there, and they messed up the whole system they had. So South Dakota just exploited that opportunity and said, put your money here. This is the safest place in the world where it can be put and no one even sees it. It's hidden. Their governor made some really favorable laws for people who want privacy.
Are you talking about the female or are you talking about the guy, the first guy who made that up?
The female.
The president,
Reg, you got to let me ask the question.
The female has nothing to do with this. The governor who was there in 1979, he set this up. He was governor for 16 years. He's the one who set up the playing field for this.
I know that, but I'm just stating that. But she's the governor now. She might try to go in there and make some changes. I don't know. I'm just saying, whether the guy.
The article was written in 2019. There's nothing in the article about her wanting to make changes. The state is getting money, billionaires. People are not even just billionaires. People are just pouring money into the state because it's
protected. Well, then she would be stupid to mess with that because it's attracting high celebrity people are moving there, businesses, people are making their money. So the state is benefiting off of that.
There's nothing in the article about her wanting to change it. It's just
we know that. I'm just making a point. It would be stupid for her to do that. So I'm validating that at least she's not messing with what the prior guy, the guy who originally made this. She's not messing with it. She'd be stupid too because it would be because the state is benefiting off of it. That's all
right.
I said.
So this is I'm just talking about the advantages. So South Dakota has been a great place. If you want to set up an offshore trust, you want to have privacy. That's a great South Dakota is a great place to put it. And if you really want to protect your assets, definitely talk to a financial advisor because it's probably if you're a guy who's doing well, it's probably worth it to make the investment to have that kind of privacy so it doesn't get exploited or discovered in a divorce. Now, if you're a business owner, your wife, fiance is going to know that you have a business, and she could even know how much money you make, but it doesn't matter because if you're just a manager of the trust, you get a salary from a trust. Like your normal salary for your company could be $250,000, but you could adjust that for the marriage. But there's a way to manage your money so your lifestyle is handled. Hell, that you could possibly even borrow from it, but you would have to speak to a financial advisor and an attorney. So South Dakota is a great place. People would think the Bahamas or Switzerland and all these places where you would have absolute privacy for your assets, but South Dakota has become a great place. Delaware is probably still good, but South Dakota has just become number one. I think it's become number one in the world. For guys who are looking for marriage, you're doing well. A trust is a great way to protect your assets. In South Dakota, is a great state to look at if you want to be able to have your things protected and privacy without someone being able to stick their head in to see what you're doing. That's the puzzle I was putting together, Reggie. So what's a trust? Why a trust beneficial? And then let's look at a place, wanted to look at the best place in the world to possibly set up your trust and be able to have it protected, South, right here in the United States. And no one would ever think South Dakota. That's what I wanted to get across, Reg. That was the puzzle I was putting together.
Okay, well, that's good. So, Ted, what's the name of this trust? What's the name of this trust that you've been mentioning? You said it twice. Specific name. What do you call it? Huh?
Yeah, it was. Let's see. One trust that you can put your property in, and I this is even for
no,
you.
No, what's the name of you said it was a specific trust.
Oh, you mentioned that twice. Yeah. That I read pieces out of the article. Yeah.
What's the name of it? I can't remember.
No, I'm going to go back to the article. Domestic Asset Protections Trust.
Domestic. That word domestic seems like it sounds like it's in there for a reason. Domestic, right?
Red, don't read too much. Domestic Asset Protection.
No, it was just. Okay, that's okay. No problem.
That's what this law firm did a comparative analysis between domestic asset protection trust and a prenuptial agreement. That's I read from that comparing the two.
Right.
So
okay. Well,
it's a very long article.
It has domestic on there for a reason. I would believe, you know.
Yep. That's why I said it's comparing prenup, you know, which one is better, prenuptial agreement or the domestic asset protections trust.
Shit.
Now, there are trusts that you can just, set up. Like right now, you can put your properties in a trust. Mm. And it has nothing to do with domestic asset protection. You put it in a trust.
Right. You know, that's right. So by picking that one particular trust, I guess there's different types of trust, right? So however it's labeled, then there's different laws or protection forms that you're doing for another one. Yeah, that's why I asked you. Okay. Thanks.
And it depends on which state you're in also, because that can affect it.
So which one's going to be most beneficial to a man? If some dude was to go left field, you know, and he need to be a benefiting out of that divorce situation. You know what I'm saying?
The smartest thing would be put your stuff in a trust before you get married.
I'm saying domestic. You just use all them different trust terms, but I was trying to figure out. I mean, I'm trying to differentiate between all them different trusts you just mentioned.
Well, here's another one. It's called a qualified personal residence trust. This trust removes a person's home or vacation home from their estate. This could be helpful if the properties are likely to appreciate greatly. And Reg, so that's a home or vacation home. But you have yours probably set up as business. That would be something different. But so what
Go ahead. Yeah.
So what I think the benefit is, because it says if you think your house is going to appreciate greatly, there are some tax protections by putting it in a trust. So you could let me give you an example. Mm. So let's say you bought your house for $100,000 and it appreciates to $120,000 and you put it in a trust at $120,000. And then it goes up to $250,000. You're limited. You can't be taxed on the full appreciation from $100,000 to $250,000. You're going to be limited.
Really?
Or even if you pass it on to your son, even whether it's a stock or real estate, they don't pay the capital gains on the full appreciation of it. They pay just on a percentage, a portion of it. So
what about the inheritance tax? Or to cut that out?
It reduces significantly inheritance taxes.
Oh, okay.
It has some real benefits. So you as a property owner, you know, if you were to put your stuff in trust and you know, have your son as a beneficiary now, but he can't control it. You still control it. You manage it. It would be beneficial.
I'm gonna go talk to some people about something. But I appreciate the conversation. I mean, me personally, I'm getting quite a bit. I knew quite a bit of this, but there's certain things that I didn't know, and I need to talk. You know. Go talk to a real, real professional. No,
right.
Cause just like you said, you can have certain assets covered under this. And then, like you said, you can go get like a vacation home or whatever, and that will have to be under a whole nother protection form or whatever, right?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So let me tell you some other things that can happen if you have a trust, right? So, Reg, let's say you left your son let's just say with you, like, let's say your grandfather left you $100 million, right? Well, you have so much money that when you turn 65, you can't qualify for Medicaid. Well, the way you can set it up is that the trust only pays you a small amount of money, which then says, oh, you don't make that much money, so you can still qualify for Medicaid and other things. So you can be worth millions and tens of millions of dollars and still, you know, qualify for Medicaid and other things because everything is in a trust. Like, you can have $100 million in cash, and then you can have another $100 million in real estate. But none of that shows up as you owning anything. You just get a little stipend from a trust.
Yeah.
You get
a salary. You get a salary, right. Or you get the dividends or something like that.
Right. Exactly. And so you could still qualify for Medicaid, like under the Medicaid guidelines, like, oh, you don't own anything and you don't make a lot of money, so you still get Medicaid. So you hide all the assets and no one sees them. So your real estate, like your real estate, let's say your real estate is kicking off $10,000 a year just in profit, right? And everything's paid for. You can hide that in a trust.
And it won't be taxable.
Well, you have to speak to your financial advisor.
If you're going to use it, like that, you probably use it as a tax deferment instead of you making $50,000 or taxed on $50,000, you might only get taxed on half of that, you know. Because the rest of it is like, it's almost, I guess it's like going into an IRA account or something, basically some form of using it like that.
See, you don't, and this is why I made this relevant to divorce, because you don't own it. It's not yours. Like, people can say all they want about you, but it's like, I own nothing.
I own nothing, yeah. Oh, he got to pay this, he got to do this. They, you know, everybody just, he just sitting back like, yeah, they think this, you know, yeah, okay. You know how that go. Maybe not. Like I said, I just can't believe these guys, you know, don't know what to do, or didn't hire the right person to, you know, show them what to do, or to protect, or to protect them. You know.
Think about when Paul McCartney married that woman with no prenup. Like, How could he not put everything in the trust? Like, I don't understand why, you know, either he said, oh, I'm going to be okay, I don't need that. Like, I don't understand the logic behind that, to leave yourself.
Hey, she put it on old Paul, and any logic or any sense that he had, it just went out the window, man. She stuffed him real good, man. She tripped his circuit breakers. So, you know, I'm just trying to make jokes.
Look, this is all good knowledge to have, and it's easy to assume that everyone who in a certain class should have it, but maybe it's not as common as people think.
Yeah, just like common sense, huh? Common sense ain't as common as you might think, right? Just assuming that everybody else.
Common sense ain't it so common nowadays, though. As I'm with Reg on that, you would think if all this money going to divorce courts and family courts, you would think these dudes would have learned by now. I'm just saying.
To be honest with you, they have, because divorce is at an all time. I mean, marriage is at an all time low. So if marriage is at an all time low, well, that might. There'll be a lot less divorces in the future. I can't tell you about right now, but there's going to be a lot less divorces in the future. So, less divorces equal less family lawyers. Mentioned they're going to be taking a hit down at the courthouse. So they're going to have to try to get that money back somewhere. Am I right, Ted? Think so?
Or are you going to have unemployed family lawyers?
Yes. What's going on? I mean,
right?
that's one way of killing it. We've been trying to kill that family court for years.
Imagine the divorce rate drops by, I'm just making up numbers, it drops by 50%, right? And it's down to only like 25% divorce rate. That's a lot of divorce lawyers who are going to be out of jobs.
Okay, but what about all these people? So how are these trust people getting paid, Ted? That was my question we're going to ask you next. So is everybody paying the trust people?
No. Listen, the person that's setting it up for you, the lawyer, the accountant, whoever it is, you pay them to set it up. That's it. They're not going to run it for you.
Do that come out of Reg, like a direct deposit? I mean, an automatic draft on my account or something?
No, I mean, you pay them to set up the trust, and then you have, you know, either the bank or whatever, and you set it up, I guess, for you to take your salary from it or however the bills are paid out. You're managing it. You're running it. It's just in the trust. You're running it. They set it up. They set it up for you. I mean, unless you got that type of money for them to a financial advisor that is going to take care of all of this. Now he's going to want 5% or something.
He's going to want a percentage, or maybe management.
Yeah.
You're saying, Reggie, is you have an advisor who pays all your bills. You don't pay anything. Someone else deals with all that, right? And you're probably going to pay a fee every year to have your trust exist. So there's a fee. I don't know what the fee is. But one of the things that would make someplace like South Dakota successful, because they wrote laws that protect your trust, which means most people are going to go there. So even if the fee is $1,000 and you have 1 million trusts there, that's 1 million times 1,000. That's a lot of money coming in for trust.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware made itself very friendly to corporations. So Delaware, I think it's the most popular place for corporations to be set up. And when I set up my company in Delaware, but I live in Jersey. So every year I pay a fee to have my the agent, my corporate agent in Delaware. I have an address and blah blah. You just pay a fee. It's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they have thousands and millions of companies that all are in Delaware, so they all pay a small fee. So for a trust, I'm sure you pay a fee every year. And as Reg was saying, so your money, so there's something called a trust fund, baby, right? So right now here's what the rumor was. Obama was a trust fund baby. And what that means is his grandfather set up a trust with a ton of money in it, and he doesn't get all the money at once. It's protected in the trust, a divorce that can't be touched. And what he gets is a salary every month from the trust. So they call it, he's a trust, they call them trust fund babies. Those are people who really don't have to work, because depending on how the trust was set up, they could get, you know, $10,000 a month. Some people get more, some people get less, but you get X amount of dollars every month that you can count on. And it's drawing down on X amount of dollars. And they, let's say they put $20 million in your trust. Your trust fund is also gaining interest in something. So it's not just sitting there doing nothing. It's making money. It's working for you at the same time.
Right. You're going to draw on an interest every once a month, right, Ted?
No, you're not drawing on interest. You're only getting a salary. You only get a set amount of money. It has nothing to do. So if it's $20 million being put in there, it doesn't matter how much it's making in interest. Obama's grandfather would have set it up so that he gets, let's say, $10,000 every month from his trust fund until it runs out. And if he dies before all the money is used up, he passes it on to his children or his wife. You follow me?
Oh, yeah. I guess so. I get you.
It's not about interest payment. It's the way you set up, you put the money in a trust, it's protected. Now it's in there. No one can go after you for that money, not your creditors. No one. And then every month, depending on who set it up, it's X amount of money will come out of it. So you could put your, you could, they have different kinds of trust. You can put your business in a trust. And may, let's say you had a business right now and your salary was $250,000 every year. And that comes to about, $20,000 a month. So if you put that company in a trust, you could still take $20,000 a month out of it as a salary, or you could cut it down to, you know, $5,000 a month. Right. So
either
then
way, I can still, either
well,
way, you can still right. live off of that, right, T?
Hold on. What I'm saying is it looks like you don't make that much money. You only make $60,000. So, and you would have to confirm this with an attorney. So if you were to get married and you're only getting $60,000 a year out of your trust and your wife wants a divorce, she's divorcing you based on your $60,000 a year income, not your previous $250,000. You fight, both you guys follow me there on that, right?
Yes.
You got me on that, Rich?
Man, I mean, you know, sorry, Ted. I was looking at something. What were you talking about? I'm sorry. I missed out on that part.
Well, Kendrick was asking if your like grandfather set up a trust for you, are you just getting interest payments? And I was like, no, you're getting payments that he set up for you. So it could be $10,000 a month. And then I said, if you put your so take that same example, you put your company in a trust, and I said, let's suppose before you had a trust, you had a salary of $250,000 a year. Well, now that the company's in a trust and you plan to get married, maybe you're going to take $60,000 a year. And if your wife wants to divorce you, she's going to divorce you based on a salary of $60,000, not
$250,000. Yeah. Yep. Sound like a good game. Sound like a good game. Oh, and,
so
of course, she don't know nothing about the trust.
even if she
okay,
knows.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I ain't telling them this is my
it.
Damn business.
Right.
Hey,
if you said
but Ted,
about it better. Right. Right.
Right. Hey, but Ted, also the trust could be set up where it's the money, everything's in the trust, and you don't get control of the trust into a certain age. You know, I think they set it up like that too, don't they? At some point, they want to. Huh.
Right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, I think most of the time they have it set up where. Where you know they gonna get this until a certain age, and then they get it all, or they get control of the trust, or something like that, right?
Yeah, you can set it. There are a lot of ways you can set it up, right? So there are some people called trust fund babies, and that's you know their grandfather left them $20 million, and that $20 million is gaining interest every month,
right?
And it's paying you $10,000 a month. So you get $10,000 a month. You don't have to work. You make $100,000 a year, and you know, and yet you live. There are people who call them trust fund out, especially out there in California where you used to live. There are a ton of trust fund babies out there.
Now, I mean, if somebody's managing your trust for you or corporation is now, if you're getting the dividends. I mean, it's so much money that, you know, you're just getting the interest, and the interest a month
Not necessarily.
I'll say hypothetically.
No, you're just
anyway.
You're just getting a salary out of it. It's not based on a dividend. It's based on how it was set. Whoever set it up for you, they decided how much. So they might say, you can't get anything out of it until you're 21, right? It's just sitting your parents or the guardian. But when you turn 21, 18 or whatever age they say, you get $10,000 every month from it. And that's the way it's set up. And that can happen for the rest of your life.
Oh, and okay. So when you eventually pass on, do they have it? Do they say, who's ever controlled it has to set it up for the next generation, right? For the next,
exactly.
For the grandkids, all of that. I mean, right?
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
So who's going to do that? At some point, the person that they said, you know, they're going to have to get control of the trust fund so they can, you know, set it up for the next generation or for the grandkids, however they have it worked out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there are some people who only set up a trust for their grandchildren, not for their children. They set up a trust fund for their grandchildren.
And then who's going to pay the taxes? I mean, who's ever managed the trust have to pay the taxes?
Right. So it's taxed. It's going to be taxed differently, for one, as opposed to you just, like, let's say it was $20 million. So as opposed to you paying $20 million on an inheritance tax, or even if they give it to you as a gift, if it's put in a trust, it shelters you from so many different types of taxes. It mitigates. It reduces taxes significantly. So, and if you die, you have a beneficiary. So if the beneficiary is your child and your child is a minor, they won't get any money from it until you say, let's say they turn 18 or 21 or whatever age you say. But you could set it up. Part of the reason they set it up that way is so that the child or grandchild or great-grandchild, so they don't have access to the full $20 million and squander it.
Oh no, they don't want them blow. Yeah, they don't want they don't want them blowing it.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, we know what that's about.
Yep, they exactly do that, brother. They'll go through that money like water.
So they end up getting $10,000-$20,000, you know, a month, whatever the amount is, and they have to learn to live off of that amount of money. And if they don't want to work, they don't have to work. So the rumor is Obama's a trust fund baby, and he gets a decent amount of money every month, but he still works.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are trust fund babies who don't work. Like they inherit, they get a trust fund, they inherit a house. You know, maybe so if their grandparents owned a bunch of property, they say, hey, you get a trust fund and this house is in a trust also, and this is your house. So let's say you're getting $10,000 a month. You're not paying a mortgage. You know, you have a house, you inherit it, you pay the property taxes. And some of them got in California, man, they wrote some laws that the property taxes couldn't go up like over like a certain small percent. And so the kids and grandkids, I think even up to the great grandkids, are the house is worth $30 million and they're still paying taxes like it's a $200,000 house. So that they had some laws changed for that a long time ago. I think back in the late 70s they did that. So just think, hey, you have a house, you have a trust fund, you're getting 10 grand a month, you don't pay a mortgage, you pay taxes, you need food, you get a car, you can live $10,000 and you're not taxed on it like the average person is taxed on it. So you're going to keep more of that $10,000 than the average person. So you can live well like that.
Hey, Ted, I really appreciate this one. You got me thinking. I got business things going on my mind, relegated to what you putting down tonight. So, you know, Well, hey, is Joe still on here? He's been real quiet.
No, he's not. He dropped off.
Oh, he's been gone? Oh, I thought, he's been a little quiet. Okay.
Well,
this show was definitely me, though, Ted.
That's Reg. I wanted to talk about this, like, strategically so people could think from a very different perspective. So the average financial advisor is not going to put this on the table for you. But if you have a little knowledge about it, you could actually now talk to a financial advisor and say, hey, these are some things that I understand about trust. Now, if I said anything incorrect, he's going to correct you and give you the proper knowledge. But that's why I did a share screen. So Investopedia, I pulled from articles, so I don't have to give you my opinion. I'll tell you what's really what they say is happening out there.
And now, you know, the funny, not to really get off subject, you know, because I heard that about old Barack too, being, his grandfather was rich.
Right.
I guess that must have been on his mother's side. I don't think his daddy was African, so that must have been
right.
on his mother's side.
Keep going, Rich.
Yeah. So supposedly, when he hooked up with Michelle Robinson. Which is Michelle Obama, that he was a struggling congressman or whatever, struggling lawyer, whatever was going on with him. And that really wasn't a damn case. The boy was set up from day one. So, like I said, no one ever really knows. Really knows the truth about certain things. So, I'm making a point. It relegated to a lot of guys really not understanding that a lot of these guys supposedly got greened and these divorces really hit or whatever. Hello?
Yeah, that's the reason why I started to learn from another man's mistakes, Mr. Reed.
They say smart people hang around smarter people, then you can learn.
But
right, Ted?
When you take dudes who ain't never been in this situation that you older guys done been into, you know what I'm saying? That's good for a younger brother like me to sit back and just listen to you. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Yeah, listen, learn. You don't learn nothing running your mouth. You can learn a lot being quiet and listening. Might ask
That's
you questions.
True.
Yeah, yeah. So, the only thing you learn from a dummy is how to be a dummy.
Yeah, you do. Because one thing about it, Mr. Reed, you already been 32 years old, but I ain't been y'all age. See, I ain't nowhere near Ted's age. But I'm striving to get to where y'all age at.
All you got to do is keep breathing. You'll get there.
That's how my mama used to say, son, just keep on living. That shows
there's a saying, you can be a young fool, but you can't be an old fool. So it's all right. All right. So
yes.
You got anything else for us, Teddy, tonight?
This was the main thing that this is really all I wanted to put out there. The trust fund as an instrument to protect you in marriage, and look at South Dakota as a great place to put your money, because they have some very favorable laws for people who want their money to be discreet, right? They have some very favorable laws for people who don't want to have all their wealth exposed and made public. I'll put it like that. So, Reg, I was really hoping you would be listening to this, because I know this is very beneficial to you. I know it is.
I've been listening.
I could have had a private conversation with you, but I think it... Look at the. I wanted it to. Say that again.
Well, you know. I believe Dennis Sperling have been having these type of podcasts, or, you know, people call him a financial. I think he's got some investments and some stuff going on, and, you know, I don't know if he's, like, you know, he's doing those privately, but I heard him did mention about that type of stuff. So, you know, there's some guys, you know, like yourself who's educated, or some guys, lawyers, people that, you know, they've learned some things and they're willing to share it with some other people, you know, particularly with him. You know, he's trying to get I'm trying to get the brothers elevated, you know, to get us out of this funk that was put in by, I don't know how we got caught up in it, but maybe we got caught up putting faith and trust in a disloyal ass fucking woman that we shared a race with or something, or, you know, guys just got caught up in just being selfish and not thinking about the next generation, or, you know, just thinking, you know, basically when a man thinks short term, he's thinking like a female, because females don't think long term, you know, they just think in the present or whatever. And I just think that, you know, a lot of black men got caught up in the past, like, you know, well, I got me a Cadillac, I'm good, I got me a house, I got this, you know, they're not thinking about the, you know, I got an older, much older cousin who had a bunch of kids and stuff, and, you know, he never thought about trust fund or, you know, put money in accounts for his kids when he's gone or nothing like that. No, I was still caught one night, and then I brought it to his attention. You know, that's how they was. That's how they think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
So these are conversations that can be had. So Reg, you have a conversation. Listen, you've heard of trust funds. This is not new for you, but I wanted to explore it in greater depth, expanding a bit. So this is a conversation you could have. I know it's probably not one a lot of guys have in a barbershop, but maybe it's a smart move to have these kinds of conversations in a barbershop.
It is, Ted. And fathers need to go back to teaching their sons this. To the ones in the lives of their sons. Yes, sir. They need to. We need to have these more conversations, like Mr. Red said, because some of these black men screwed up for real. But like he said, we ain't been taught putting no money aside, no trust fund. And for the next couple generations, Mr. Redden.
That's the past generation with this race. So I'm pretty sure, man, listen here, man, I I'm here and I'll be looking at a lot of these people from other races and stuff, how they live in, you know, the younger one, ever, right? And you'd be thinking that these kids, or these people, you know, they worked hard and, you know, they did it on their own. No, a lot of this stuff, the reason why they live the way that they live now, because they receive some passed down wealth.
Old money.
You know what I mean?
They call that old money.
Yeah. But I'm making a point that a lot of these people, the reason why these other races are living the way they do is because they pass the wealth down. They keep passing it down and down and just keeping light and keeping everything flowing for the family, and we can, you know, so, you know, for whatever reason, we just didn't get the memo. We just didn't get the memo. Okay, so, and I'm not about to go back and blame no slavery on the shit. I'm just not.
Hey, Rich, there's another thing. Huh? Even before passing money down, there's another. So there are people who buy a life insurance policy on their child as soon as they're born, and they can cash it out. Like they can use it to pay for college, they can use it for a down payment on a house, they can use it to start a business, right? So you can be starting out with 25, you know, I don't know what the max is. Let's say the max is $50,000. Imagine you're 18 years old and you've got a scholarship to college, you have an insurance policy for $50,000. That's a down payment on a house, or that's, you can start a business. There's a lot of you can do.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, I'm going to tell you a shameful thing. Like when my son was born and I was trying to tell his mother, why don't you just work with me? And, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I ain't trying to run nowhere. Actually, you're trying to run me off, and that ain't going to happen. I'm trying to work together here. I'd already trying to establish, you know, a trust fund or an account where we can put money in, and when he gets grown, he had money for school, he had money for this or that. No, the bitch didn't want to go for it. She's too busy trying to screw my damn life up. You know what I mean? So that just shows you, you know, be leery who you got damn kids by. You know what I mean? I'm just making another point here.
That's the biggest point.
See? Yeah, if you had somebody who y'all was on the same plan, she wanted to put money to the side for him. You wanted to put, you know, we're going to put him in private. He going to have the best. He can have the best. You know, he'll have the best of everything and shit. No. Nope. Another level.
So sorry, Mr. Reed. I needed that laugh from Mr. Reed. But you sure tell the truth, because you know some of them women can be vindictive.
Man, vindictiveness, that's in the nature of a bitch, period, okay? So if you find a vindictive dude, he got a lot of estrogen flowing through his veins, okay?
So, any last thoughts, guys?
No. Well, my thoughts is I needed this. I really do. I enjoy both of you gentlemen.
Thank you.
Great podcast tonight, Teddy. I'm out. I'm about to do a double shift now. Y'all can have a good evening.
You too, man. Take care. And hey, Reg, have this conversation with your son, man.
Ted, I have this type of conversation with my son all the time. Whether it's registered or not, I had this type of conversation with him. I have the conversation with people all the time, but when they start deferring or coming to this or that and everything, I just get pissed off. I say, man, I ain't got time for no. Either you want to do this or do this or you don't. There ain't this. And I said, you know, I said, why don't you just get the ball started, and then you'll find how things start working. Get the ball started. No excuses, this or that. Get the ball started, and you'll and more than likely, you're going to see how it works, and then you're going to keep going on. Yeah. That is it, you know. So, all right, gentlemen. Y'all have a good evening.
Take care,
you
man.
Too.
All right. Thanks. Hey, thanks for joining, everyone. This was I wanted to do this a little different, talk about money and protecting it, preserving it, passing it on. Invest in it, how to make your money work, and how to keep it, how to put your money in the best possible position. And we talked about South Dakota being a great haven for people who put great trust. So South Dakota is a great haven, a tax haven. They have a lot of benefits. So of all places, not the Cayman Islands, not Switzerland, it's South Dakota. So just wanted to share some knowledge with you guys. And getting some interesting text messages. Thank you. yeah, I appreciate the interaction, everyone. And I see the comments also in the super chat. And, you know, check out trust before you just automatically write off that a forensic attorney is going to come after you, because there's certain protections that, they might want to go after. But the way the laws are set up, it just won't matter. So there are things set up for people, and we don't hear about all the details of the Bill Gates and the Jeff Bezos' divorce, but, you know, we don't know all the details and how it worked out. They may have been as well protected. I mean, hell, look at Bezos. He just ran with his business. He's done better than ever right now after his divorce. So I don't know if his wife is better off or she should have stuck around. If he's worth way more now than he was before. So you know, it's something for people to think about. Money is a tool. It's an instrument. It's great for investing. It's great to make possibilities available. So manage it well. And time is another resource in your knowledge. So this was
adding to your knowledge resource so that you can make better decisions on how you manage your money resource. So I didn't talk about sex today. I wasn't really here to talk about relationships. Prenups came up, but that wasn't the point. We did do a comparative analysis. I can drop the link in the description so you guys can see these things for yourself. And sometimes I want to drop some knowledge that has some long-term benefits to people, not just to you, to your family, but support you in making decisions. So I appreciate your support, everyone. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week. Take care. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, Kendrick.
You too.
All right, goodbye.